This is Rusty Gaffney, and you're listening to Penophile Live. Today's program features Volume 7, Issue 2 of The Penophile, and this is all about Oregon, or what I like to kiddingly call Noregon, N-O-I-R-E-G-O-N. I think it's most appropriate because really, when you think of Oregon wine, you think of Pinot Noir. It's Pinot Noir that's really made the Oregon wine industry. In late July, I made my annual trek to the Willamette Valley to attend the International Pinot Noir Celebration. This is really the granddaddy of all Pinot Noir festivals. It's held on the tiny campus of Linfield College in McMinnville, Oregon. Year in and year out, 700 Pinophiles from all over the world converge on this tiny town. And it really is the top Pinot Noir festival, I think, anywhere in the world. Not only do you have a tremendous exposure to Oregon and worldwide Pinot Noir, but the food is absolutely outstanding. Chefs travel from all parts of the United States, France, Canada, Japan, and New Zealand to cook for the attendees. This year, there were 46 guest chefs. This year, there were 63 Pinot Noir producers pouring their wines. The master of ceremonies was Andrea Robinson. She kicked off the event, welcoming all the winemakers who were introduced to the attendees in the morning of the beginning day of the event. The theme of this year's event was sustainability, and I'm not going to go into a discussion of that. It can be rather dry and not of great interest to some wine drinkers. The terminology involved is somewhat confusing. But if you read this issue of The Penophile, I've tried to succinctly define the terms sustainability, organic, and biodynamic, and try to make some sense out of all the different sanctioning organizations for these different types of viticulture. Suffice it to say that Oregon is the leading country in the world when it comes to pushing for sustainable grape farming, organic viticulture, and even biodynamic viticulture. The major figure at the International Pinot Noir Celebration was Dominic Lafon, a very notable winemaker from Burgundy. He attended and spoke about his sustainable farming methods. He's quite a spokesman for that in France and poured his magnificent wines. And it turns out that Lafon is starting to make Pinot Noir in Oregon. And this was created quite a buzz at the event and was big news to everyone. He has signed on as the consulting winemaker for Evening Land Vineyards, a wine label started by former attorney and producer and director in Hollywood, Mark Tarlov, along with partners Danny Meyer of the Union Square Hospitality Group, the Prieur family of Domaine Jacques Prieur in Burgundy, and Dorothy Cann Hamilton, founder of the French Culinary Institute and CEO of the James Beard Foundation. Evening Land Vineyards has been buying up some property. They own two vineyards in California, the Occidental Vineyard and the Sonoma Coast, which has been the source of Kistler's Cuvée Elizabeth Pinot Noir previously, and the Odyssey Vineyard in the Santa Rita Hills. Pinot Noirs crafted from these two vineyard sites are made by veteran winemaker Sasha Moorman from Stoltman Vineyards. Lafon was offered the opportunity to make the California wines, but declined, claiming that the wines from California were simply too extracted and high in alcohol. Last year, the big news was that Tarlov and his investment group signed a long-term lease of Seven Springs Vineyard. This is a revered 65-acre Pinot Noir vineyard in the Eoli-Amity Hills Appalachian. And he had been trying to buy this property for years, but finally negotiated a lease with the possibility he may be able to purchase it down the road. Seven Springs Vineyard is one of the most high-profile in Oregon. It's been the source of Pinot Noir for several esteemed producers, including Edelsheim, Bethel Heights, Christom, Domaine Drouin, Evesham Wood, Penarache, Rex Hill, St. Ennison, and so forth. And it, by the end of the 2008 vintage, none of these wineries will have access to the fruit. The full-time winemaker in Oregon for Evening Land Vineyards will be Isabel Munier, who previously worked at Les Clos Jardin in Niagara, Canada, with former Oregon winemaker Thomas Batchelder. The winery plans to release about 5,000 cases annually of Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Gamay Noir. I guess the first wine called ELV Celebration, which is a Gamay Noir, was released this year. And two 2007 ELV Seven Springs Vineyard Pinot Noirs will follow in 2009. It's not clear how much of the wine will be available to the public. Apparently, most of the wine is going to be allocated to restaurants and to sommeliers who have worked closely with ELV. In fact, some sommeliers are going to be working with Dominique Lafon to produce special cuvées for their restaurants. You can sign up for the mailing list at www.elvwines.com, but as I said, it's unclear whether you ever get your hands on any wine. I tasted a number of Pinot Noirs at the event and also a number upon returning home. Really, the Willamette Valley of Oregon has become a treasure chest of Pinot Noir, and I'll tell you, I've always been partial to California and particularly to the Russian River Valley, but I'm getting my eyes opened by the wines that I've been tasting of late in Oregon, and I'm really enthusiastic about them, and I would encourage you to sample as many as you can get your hands on. They are really, really superb examples of Pinot Noir. The wines of the 2005 and 2006 vintages have excellent quality and consistency, and you can buy both vintages with assurance. Actually, 2006 marks the 40th anniversary of Oregon's Pinot Noir industry. David Lett, a seminal figure in the Willamette Valley wine, graduated from University of California, Davis, and in 1965, headed to the Willamette Valley with 3,000 cuttings in tow. He had chosen Oregon despite the widespread teachings at the time that vinifera would not prosper and ripen in Oregon. He looked around until he found a suitable site in the Dundee Hills, and in 1966, he planted Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Pinot Gris, and his Erie, that's E-Y-R-I-E, Vineyards was born. He began making wine and struggled for a number of years, but now has become known as Papa Pinot and is highly revered by Pinophiles. There's another figure in Oregon wine that's not as well known as David Lett that may have planted Pinot Noir around the same time. His name was Charles Corey. And he began his career in the wine business in California as a sales representative for Julius Weil Importers. He then went on to attend University of California, Davis, and he wrote the famous master's thesis of 1963, which has been widely publicized, titled Cold Limit Amelioration Hypothesis. He was convinced that vinifera produced the best wine when it ripened at the upper limit of the growing season. Armed with his theory, he also set out for Oregon, convinced that the climate there most closely approximated that of Burgundy. He planted Pinot Noir in Forest Grove, just west of Portland, and is said to have made some very credible wines. He eventually left the wine business and founded the first microbrewery in Oregon. But Lett stayed with it, and it wasn't long before other pioneering wine growers arrived in Oregon, including Dick and Kina Erath, Carl Knutson, Dick and Nancy Ponzi, Suzanne and Bill Sokol Blosser, David and Ginny Adelsheim, Jim and Loie Marsh, and many others of importance but less repute. At the end of the 1980s, there were 1,000 acres of Pinot Noir vines in the Willamette Valley, but 20 years later, there were 5,000 acres. And this total is estimated to double by year 2010. There are a few wines of particular note that I tasted that I think are worth your interest. A lot of the Oregon wines are made in small quantity and may not be available in your state, so you may have to purchase the wines direct from the wineries. A good source, retail source for Oregon wines is Avalon Wine Company, avalonwine.com. Anticatera is a label to look for. This was actually started by a pair of New Yorkers in 1989, and they made small amounts of distinguished Pinot Noir for a number of years. But in June 2005, it was purchased by three friends and partners, and they brought in talented winemaker Maggie Harrison, who had been a former assistant to Manfred Krankel at Sine Qua Non. The six-acre estate vineyard is in the Eola Amity Hills appellation, and production's around 850 cases annually. There are two bottlings, a Willamette Valley bottling and a limited release called Botanica, only made in Superior Vintages. I tasted the 2006 Willamette Valley from Anticatera, and it was rich, velvety, and full, nicely composed, and full-on delicious black cherry and ripe plum attack. I'd look for this wine. It's recommended. Another new wine that I ran across while I was up in Oregon is Arterberry Marish. The Marish family, and you probably heard the term Marish if you're into Pinot Noir because the Marish vineyard is quite famous. But the Marish family has had a long and memorable presence in the Dundee Hills of Oregon. While I was up there, I actually stayed on the Marish estate and stayed in the guest house on the Marish property. This is a beautiful three-bedroom house that is available for rent if you're traveling to the Willamette Valley, and I highly recommend it. It's centrally located in the Dundee Hills and has beautiful views of the Willamette Valley and is close to all kinds of premium wineries. But anyway, I got to talk with Martha Marish when I was in Oregon. And she told me a little bit of their story. It's kind of interesting. Jim and Loy Marish were Wisconsin natives, and they met as students at Marquette University. They moved to Oregon, bought a 26-acre farm in 1959. Jim worked for Dun & Bradstreet in Portland and served as a reserve officer in the Navy. Originally, their home was the only one on the hill, and they quite liked the isolated farm life and tended to many cherry trees, nut trees, and it wasn't until 1970 that they planted grapevines. Actually, the reason they planted them was that neighbor, Dick Erath, suggested that they had a superior site for growing grapes. They ended up having five children, and one of the daughters married Fred Arterberry, who was one of the first Oregon winemakers to have a degree from University of California, Davis. And Arterberry was well-known in wine circles in Oregon and produced many award-winning wines. Martha and Jim had a son named Jim Arterberry Marish. And when the eldest Jim died, Martha remarried but kept the last name Marish. The Marish estate now consists of 124 acres of several varieties, including Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. About half the grapes, that is 600 cases, are vinified as Red Barn Pinot Noir. This wine has been made by several winemakers through the years and is sold through the Red Barn tasting room on the Marish vineyard. The remainder of the grapes go to a number of wineries, including De Adelis, Et Fee, Scott Paul, and Chenet. You know, we had a great experience when we were staying there. Martha turns out to be a very talented baker as well as a dedicated vineyard worker. And she offered to bake us a cherry pie from her 80-year-old Queen Anne cherry trees. We happened to be up there at the time these trees were in full production, which is only a 2 or 3 week window every year. And I must say, this was the best pie I'd ever eaten in my life. Jim Arterberry Marish, he's only 24 years old, but he's already being touted as one of Oregon's best young winemakers. Now, Jim's father's label, Arterberry Cellars, disappeared when Fred died. But Fred, as he grew older, began to become interested in wine and started dabbling in 2001. And in 2007, he revived the label as Arterberry Mirisch, releasing his inaugural wines from the 2005 vintage. I tasted his 2006 Pinot Noirs, and they were quite impressive. All of them had an admirable, elegant style, beautiful aromatics, and highly recommended. Availability is very limited. You can try Avalon Wines or reach Jim through the website at www.arterberrywines.com. Another winery, which actually has been a favorite of mine for a couple years, but continues to impress me, is Christom Vineyards. These are just consistently excellent wines, which age very well and show a certain Burgundian sensitivity. Christom's founder and owner, Paul Gehry, that's G-E-R-R-I-E, is an engineer, avid researcher. On his travels to France, he became interested in the growing practices of Burgundy. And after a visit to the International Pinot Noir Celebration in 1991, he decided to leave the East Coast, bring his family out to Oregon, and start growing grapes. He was able to find a winemaker who shared his dream, and that was Steve Dorner, who was quite a well-educated winemaker, actually had a degree in biochemistry rather than enology per se, but was quite bright and had worked at Calera Vineyards with owner Josh Jensen for 14 years. He'd also studied at Domaine du Jacques. So the engineer and the biochemist set out to cultivate their vision in 1992, and today this can be seen in seven distinct vineyards on Christom's 65 acres in the Eola Amity Hills Appellation. The vineyards are dry farmed, planted to high density, and the yields are strictly reduced. All of the vineyards are named after family members, and vineyard designates are produced from each. You really can't go wrong with any Christom Pinot Noir. The blend is called Mount Jefferson, and the individual vineyard designates are termed Eileen, Jesse, Marjorie, Amelia, Louise. And there's also a reserve called Summer's Reserve. Believe me, you won't be disappointed in any of these wines. They're not extremely highly priced. The Jefferson Cuvée is $24, which I think is, you just can't find a better Oregon or even California Pinot Noir for $24. The other wines go up to, $42. But even still, considering the quality, this is a producer to look seriously at. The winery is open in Salem, Oregon, in the southern Willamette Valley, and they have a seasonal tasting room, and the wines are sold on their website. There are others I could mention. Et Fee, that's E-T, and then F-I-L-L-E. I've spoken about Et Fee before. You can look at the Pinot File. The 2006 lineup is impeccable. All of the wines recommended. Hammaker is another producer that you can look at that's extremely reliable. I reviewed his 2005 Willamette Valley Pinot Noir, and I thought it was pristine, charming, and couldn't recommend it more. The Four Graces, this is a relatively new producer in the Willamette Valley, named after the four daughters of the proprietors, Steve and Paula Black. Their inaugural vintage was 2003. The wines are sourced from the estate 54-acre vineyard in the Dundee Hills. They have an interesting project going. They purchased a second site called Doe Ridge, located in the Yamhill-Carlton Appellation, and they replanted it in 2005. And the Doe Ridge is unique in that it consists of two 20-acre parcels divided by a canyon, with one parcel farmed biodynamically and the other one farmed according to live guidelines, that is, sustainable guidelines. So it'll be interesting in the future to compare the wines that originate from the two parallel portions of the same vineyard, but yet farmed differently. I tasted the 2006 Willamette Valley and Reserve Four Graces Pinot Noir, and really came away quite impressed, especially the Reserve, which is priced at $42, but pretty good availability, over 2,700 cases. And man, this had great aromatics, Bing cherry, cedar, vanilla, really drew you into the glass. High tone red fruits, a little dark chocolate, brown sugar notes. Very seamless, very comforting wine. And man, I could just sit and drink the whole bottle of this one. I've spoken about Westry, W-E-S-T-R-E-Y, Wine Company. I've written about them in the past. Another producer to look at, Willamette Valley Vineyards, has really come on the scene with a remarkable consistency. And in the latest Pinot Fall, I reviewed four of the 2006 Pinot Noirs, and they're all quite good. The basic Willamette Valley bottling at $25 is widely distributed, over 25,000 cases. I've seen this in markets and so forth. And it's darn good for the price and a recommended daily drinker. So that's pretty much it. I could go on and on. There's no end to the number of new names cropping up in Oregon. And I would encourage you to attend the International Pinot Noir Celebration. I must say that registration has already begun for the 2009 event, which is always the last weekend in July. And although its availability is currently open, that is to 700 attendees, I wouldn't delay too much if you're thinking about going, because certainly by February or March, the event will be completely sold out. And if you're going to go to one event, one Pinot Noir event, this is the one to go to. And if you do go, plan ahead, because accommodations are limited in the Willamette Valley and need to be made far in advance. One option you can consider is to stay actually on the campus at Linfield College in the student dorms. These are rather basic and austere, but they're, you know, modern and comfortable. No air conditioning. You sleep in bunk beds, but the big advantage is that you're located right on campus, walking distance to all the events, and that certainly is quite convenient. And if you do go, plan on spending a few extra days before the event or after the event in the Willamette Valley and visit some wineries and explore the area. The nice thing about the Willamette Valley is that most of the wineries are all very close. And certainly, you can drive from one end of the most northerly winery to the other end, the most southerly winery in the Willamette Valley, maybe hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half at the most. So you can pretty much go anywhere you want in a short period of time. A lot of the wineries are small and do not have tasting rooms, and you must make appointments in advance. But you know, Oregon people are very accommodating. They're very happy to see visitors and don't hesitate to call up and say, we want to come by and taste. And I'm sure they'll be more than happy to receive you. And I think you'll find the experience quite pleasant, harking back to maybe the earlier days of the California wine industry. So that's the wrap up on Norgan. And this is Rusty Gaffney, and thanks for listening.